Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
We're back with hour number three. This is Wednesday. It is the 9th of May, and we have Jonathan Gray back. He's back every 2 weeks with a crazy show. We have amazing information. His website is beforeus.com, beforeus.com. And the latest, of course, is his book, Will You Survive? He has also amazing videos. Can you mention the title of that video series, I think, that we talked about for months that was so powerful?
Yes.
You have many, many e-books and biblically-based research and archaeological research. You've also known a lot of the major researchers that have traveled around the world, including people that have discovered the Ark of the Covenant in the mountains of Turkey. People need to understand that the real world, which is reflected in the Bible, is quite different than the world a lot of people, even Christians, believe, because they don't really read not only deeply into the Bible, but don't realize the archaeological confirmation that the Bible is true, not only now, but in ancient history. So there's a lot of facts you pulled out for survival in your book, Will You Survive? And I tell people, first off, you have to ask the question, do you want to survive? And what do you have to do that? And some of the things are actually pretty simple. How do you store food and how do you store other things? Today is going to be our topic. But first, I'd like you to make some comments about what you think is happening with Iran. We are trying to get Bill Salas on tomorrow or sometime in the next week or so. He's a prophetic author from Carlsbad who's been researching the future of Iran. I think it's very likely that out of this construct of conflict which we've had with Iran, it turns out Iran is a major supporter of the Democratic Party, which is why they probably got the deal. They also have had Mossadegh taken out by the CIA, and then they put the Shah in, the Shah of Iran. And then they took the Shah out and put in the mullahs and the Ayatollah Khomeini. So people need to understand our government's repeatedly interfered with Iran. Iran wasn't by its very nature opposed or against America or even the British, who brought in the British oil company. They just wanted, Mossadegh wanted to have a chemical and plastics factory in Tehran, but the British and the American forces actually created a dialectic of chaos, so they now consider us, you know, evil. And I guess they probably have some justifiable reasons to consider America evil in terms of the interference in their own government and the setting up of the not only the Shah with his own Savak, the kind of the killing force inside the Iran, but also the mullahs, who are certainly not favored by much of the young people in Iran. So we have that situation. And North Korea basically is a pimple on the geopolitical abscess of a very dangerous and aggressive wolf, Russia, under Putin, who's an oligarch, you know, we call a corrupt financial leader, like a Sicilian Russian, if you want to call it. And then we have Xi, who's like a new Mao Zedong, with a plan of 2025 to take over financially the world. So we've got some very bad actors here, and I don't think that Trump is operating with a full deck of wisdom, biblical or other wisdom, in his decisions to do what he's going to do next. The first move to tear up this treaty was kind of okay with Iran. I don't know if he's got move 2, 3, and 4 figured out. The same way as with North Korea, even though we're getting these three people back, I don't think they have a long-term solution to actually get at the cause of it, which is Russia and China and other states supporting this rogue nation. And because of that, our world is doomed in the not-too-distant future to face nuclear war, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And this, of course, is what a lot of these people want to happen. They want to reduce the world's population by 90% so that they can find it easier to rule the rest.
Right.
And this is actually their plan. They want a third world war, and the elements are being put in place ready for it.
Yeah. It's true, and of course, survival is relatively easy. Most people don't realize the most important initial survival is the first 2 weeks to 2 months. If you can survive 2 months, you're going to live past that, aren't you? If you can't survive the first 2 months, you're not going to make it at all. And most people are going to start failing physically, dehydrating, getting toxic water and food and so on, and violence in the first 4 days to 2 weeks. It's going to become very crazy when people realize the power is gone, it's not coming back, there's no food or gasoline deliveries, the water is being shut down because there's not treatment for the sewage, they haven't stored food, so the ultimate cash in the future will be food or even things like carat bar, gold, and small fungible currency, carat cash, etc., and food and supplies, like to even, you know, seal up your home if you've actually got a rent in your home or if it's been affected by an earthquake to kind of make sure your roof doesn't fall on your head. Things like these tag-along or pull-alongs to actually pull things together so you can keep your home from falling down on you. I don't think people are prepared at all for what's coming, are they? They don't realize how fragile the power grid could be hacked by some guy in Bulgaria in his mom's basement or by an EMP weapon that can be fired off a coast 200 miles off the coast in a fishing boat up 100,000 feet. They don't realize how many nations now are going to be having weapons of mass destruction or have them already, like Syria and Iran have the biological weapons from the former Soviet Union from the facility north of Moscow. I don't think people realize any of this stuff, and they don't realize we're at the most dangerous time in human history, aren't we?
We are, Dr. Bill. Now, what's important to realize is this, that once the trouble strikes, if you're not ready, that's it. Now, the time to be prepared is now, because it'll be too late to start preparing once the disaster starts moving. It'll move faster than you can.
So the first thing we want to talk about today is storage. And what do you want to talk about in storage, and what are the biblical principles behind it? Because there were some neat things that Joseph did when he actually told, as a satrap of Egypt, how to store the grain. They stored the entire plant, including the roots. And they had these root cellars that were partly under the ground and partly above, so they actually kept the plant in a kind of a stasis state where all you had to do 7 years later is take it, stick it in the ground with water, and boom, when the drought is over, you've got a plant that can produce food. They didn't just store the grain from the plant. They stored the entire plant, didn't they?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, we'll go into that. We've been exploring some of the grain bins that have been left behind from that event, and we can get into that a little later in the program, buddy.
Right. So let's just talk about what you want to talk about today for how to survive, how do you store, and what do you store?
Yes. Well, you know, remember the old story of the ant and the grasshopper? The grasshopper goes out and eats galore like there's no tomorrow, while the ant stores up a little bit at a time. And
right.
The ant makes it, and the grasshopper goes without. Now, the ant knew the secret, the grasshopper did not. And in the book of Proverbs, we're told, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, observe her ways, and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer, and gathers her provision in the harvest." Now, tiny little things like ants can teach us a lesson, because most human beings don't seem to have the sense of a little ant. However, we can know what to do. We can learn what to do. And I'd like us to come together today and just look at some of these things that we can do that can help us all survive.
Yeah, exactly. So please proceed.
Yes. Now, in the days ahead, this world will be changed, and our countries will be changed, our cities and towns will be changed, and the wise will have prepared for these changes, and the unwise will be wondering what happened and be in great need. Now, there is strong evidence that some government agencies are already stockpiling huge amounts of canned food. we should all start stockpiling food. Grocery store prices are rising faster than any time in history. Worldwide grain stocks are dropping precipitously as biofuels actually are consuming inventories of grain. And on, we could go on and on and on about that, but we won't. Now, our ancestors were very wise and full of common sense. They had cellars where they had food canned that could last them well over a year. And this ensured that they would be able to plant a crop the following summer and still be able to survive while they were waiting for the crops to mature and harvest.
Right.
Now, I'd like to mention something that the media will not touch with a 10-foot pole.
I hear the music, so I guess we're going to keep that thought when we transition over to the next break. So the media won't touch this, and we're going to find out why. It's probably a twisted reason, I'm sure, because the deep state doesn't want you to be informed, because if you do, you might survive. That's the big question on the front of the book. Will you survive? Well, we're going to find out. So, Jonathan, let's talk about what kind of things to store. What do we store?
Okay. Now, as I was mentioning, the media won't touch this, but the time of easily accessible food at cheap prices may very soon be over.
Right.
And as hyperinflation sets in, and because everything is there are bubbles set to burst any time on many fronts, and these have the potential to cause major problems and shortages. And at the sign of any impending disaster, grocery stores in major cities will be emptied in no more than an hour.
Right.
So it's best to plan ahead by putting together a supply of items that store well for a long time. And just to sum it up a little bit, canned goods, freeze-dried foods, vacuum-packed food, and so on. And don't forget toiletries and other essentials. And if you are in need of prescription medicines, then just get what you can.
Right.
Now, check your food supplies, and if you don't have 6 months to a year's food in reserve, then it's best to sell something that you've got, something else, and do whatever you can to immediately prepare yourself and your loved ones for safety. And better still, if you can store 2 years' supply at this time, do it as quickly as possible. We don't know how much time we've got now before disaster breaks, but it's threatening on the horizon already.
Yeah, we have major people talk about all these so-called bubbles. And so you should buy canned goods, and if you buy freeze-dried, like our Legacy Food or Ready Store, and I like the Legacy Food the best, and also they have a lot of emergency equipment at Ready Store, you need to start purchasing those now, and I like to do it on a monthly basis. So you'll save 20% at Legacy. But also you should start taking meals. If you have a meal with X amount of extra food, you want to sterilize it so you don't get food poisoning when you open it up months or years later. The first thing is you want to dehydrate it properly, and then you want to put it in these tubes and then drop it in liquid nitrogen for half an hour. No viruses or bacteria will survive the freezing process. It'll shatter them. So that's very, very helpful to actually post-dehydration, put it in little tubes. You're going to store in these dehydrated packages, and you literally freeze them at liquid nitrogen, which I think is like 183 degrees below zero. So no self-respecting virus or bacteria can survive that, or even fungus. It shatters even the spores.
Excellent advice. Very good.
Yeah.
And also learn to prepare and enjoy simple foods. Learn to survive without doctors, without lawyers, without police, without government handouts, and without interference. Now, what preparations have you made? The question that you should ask yourself today is, where are you in the preparation cycle now? If you're like most folks, you probably haven't prepared enough of the things you know, let alone the things you don't know about. Okay. Now, some people consider that stocking up on food is hoarding. They imagine that this causes a shortage and price increases. And perhaps this makes them feel better about the fact that the only food they have is 2 litres of Diet Cola, a half-eaten Italian sub, and a frozen burrito. Well, ideally, everyone should store enough non-genetically modified seeds.
Yeah, and we have those heritage seeds available over at both of the Legacy Food and at Ready Store. And so they're a great place to get non-GMO seeds.
Very, very good. Now, even while you may not have land in the country yet, and you may still be in the city, you can still start preparing. And the seeds will still hold value during a food emergency, and they can be used for butter, for food.
Like cash. Isn't that amazing? Now, one of the things we're doing with Dave Mitchell, our realtor broker here in Southern California, we're working not only in America but around the world, he can actually help to try to set up a list of people who are interested in, we call Christian Patriot Survival Villages. And what we want to do is have 50 to 100 families that sign up. But you don't have to do any money. We just want you to have your contact information and your address, et cetera. And then we put in a bid once we get enough people to say, I'm interested, we got 50 families or 100 families. We can bid for a property where we can buy it outright. Then you can start doing things like turtle tough shelters or putting gravity water filter systems or power systems like solar that's EMP proof on the site. And then you can start thinking, okay, how do we build a perimeter around it to control it? And we need a whole range of people, all the way from policing people to welders to teachers to health professionals that can actually make a village that's survivable, not just for months, but for decades or centuries.
Wonderful.
And I think people should start thinking of it that way. You have to be like-minded first. You don't get into this unless you're a believing Christian patriot. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. If you don't qualify for those things, you don't get in, period.
Yeah, very good. Now, a question people sometimes ask, some people will ask, is does preparation negate faith? Now, some argue that preparing anything is foolishness and shows a lack of faith. And they ask, shouldn't one just trust in God? Well, there are others who scorn the idea of preparing anything as though it's an advanced form of paranoia. And there are others who are asking serious questions about what can be done in a realistic way. Many do sense that the greatest need for preparation is spiritual instead of physical. And on that last point, I do agree, Dr. Bill. Give me a man who has prepared all the food, water and shelter he will need and who loses heart, and I'll give you a dead man. Give me a man with nothing physical prepared who keeps faith in God, the Creator, and I'll give you a survivor.
Exactly.
And it may be helpful to recognize that there are two phases to the troubles ahead. To keep it simple, let's call these the little time of trouble and then the great time of trouble.
Right.
Now, in the preliminary time of trouble, we may soon find ourselves in this time of trouble. That's when man-made laws will impose restrictions on your freedom to make decisions according to your conscience. And for this soon coming time, you need to prepare physically. Now, for the ultimate great time of trouble, when your life is in danger from a growing tyranny, you'll need to withdraw into some wilderness area where you cannot depend on food storage to survive. This will come. But at this time, you can claim the prophetic promise that if your life is in harmony with God, your bread and water will be sure. Period. Now, a man who lived a life of trusting and obeying God wrote in the Psalms, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the right living forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So we cooperate with him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So there you have the ultimate. In the ultimate time of trouble, you will have to hang upon him.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I like the part of that statement, though. Lean not unto thy own understanding. People need to know their own God's understanding is in the Bible. He's in prayer. He's in people or things that just happen, like people listening to the show. They'll realize it's God reaching out to them, telling them, if you heed some of the things we say and it has a ring of spiritual truth, not just intellectual or artistic truth, then you need to heed it as God speaking to you. If you want to survive, start taking heed to some of the words we're saying right now.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we have another break. We'll be back in a couple minutes and continue this amazing discussion. You need to prepare a little bit every day, and before you know it, you're a certified prepper for God, a prepper to survive the times of trouble, because there is a world coming that's righteous and sanctified by God here on earth, not just in heaven. The foreign minister of Saudi Arabia, Adel Al-Jubeir, made the statement on CNN that if Iran continues to pursue nuclear weapons, that Saudi Arabia will too. Well, I'm going to give a little bit of additional facts here. I've known since the early 90s that Saudi Arabia has got CC-3 missiles from communist China, because we wouldn't give them the missiles, that have a range that can go almost 3,000 miles now. They actually paid for, the Saudis paid for, the missile development and nuclear website in Pakistan with AQ Khan, and we had full access to our nuclear technology for their nuclear libraries, or classified nuclear libraries, to build the Waziristani nuclear plant for Pakistan. We did it with the help of the CIA. People don't know that, do they? They don't realize the hidden power behind this is the fourth nuclear power in the world is not just Israel, it's Pakistan. They have the most productive factory making new nuclear warheads of all types, short and long range nuclear weapons, etc. And there's a direct alliance between Pakistan and China. They give them 64 JL-17 jets, which are a knockoff of our joint strike fighter. So people don't understand this, do they? They really are not kind of cognizant of the fact that Saudi Arabia wants nukes. Now, they've actually had missiles already. It wouldn't surprise me if they already have some nukes. They have the missiles for at least, you know, like, say, many, you know, decades. So it's kind of, you know, when I hear this kind of statement, it's like, hey, we got nukes, but we're not going to tell you we got nukes. But if Saudi Arabia does, we're going to make sure we beef up the system to make sure that if they want to start nuking us, we're going to nuke them back. And they have a hair trigger. These Muslims hate each other more than even hate Jews or Christians. It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yes. There's no love in this situation at all. It's stark hatred. Yeah. Luxury.
Well, yeah. Islam is a dark religion. It's based on dominance, power, abuse, geopolitical control of every aspect of your life, including dietary, even sex. It's a bizarre pseudo-religion, according to Bill Warner of politicalislam.com. And what I see happening here is I see the gathering storm. And although Trump is going to try to do a lot of things to kind of tamp this off and protect it, you know, I think even on the surface he'll probably be partially successful. But in the long run, I don't see that this is going to stop, because we're not dealing with the underlying causes. For example, the problem is not Saudi Arabia and Iran. It's the global powers that want nuclear war. It's the global powers, for example, most people don't realize that the Soviet Union, after the Second World War, we got our nuclear technology from us. We actually sent them nuclear materials and even centrifuges and technology so they could enrich uranium and plutonium to make warheads. We did it. We actually gave that information, and we then fined and executed so-called spies that actually gave the information, although we shipped it through Alaska, to the Soviet Union. We did it. And people don't know this, do they?
Well, the danger is real, absolutely.
Yeah. Getting back to our book, yeah. Getting back to the book, Will You Survive? Yeah.
One key principle of survival is to share and help others.
Right.
Now, give me a man who trusts the living God and gives his life to help others, and I'll give you a man who'll be delivered in the day of trouble.
Right.
Now, there's a wonderful promise in the Psalms again. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth, and will not give him over to the desire of his enemies. Now, that's a promise. And we have a Creator who keeps his promises, and in my life I've found him beyond belief keeping promises and doing wonders that I'd never expect, because he is powerful. There's nothing our God cannot do.
Yeah, and he does it through I call the organism of like-minded believers that protect and care for each other. It's an organism, isn't it? Yeah, very important.
It is. And so that's why your preparation is not just for you. It's for others who didn't have any faith to prepare.
And, right. Which is why you have to have extra, or you're not going to have enough collectively to survive, and you don't want to shoot your relatives because they didn't listen to you.
That's right. Now, Jesus has warned us all very seriously about sharing with others. He says quite clearly that if we share with the least of our brothers, then we've given it to him. If we don't share, then we've not shared it with him. And if we're serious about God delivering us, then we had better get serious about helping to deliver others.
Right.
And Jesus himself said, whosoever shall seek to keep his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And what he's really saying here is, you're willing to sacrifice yourself to help others, the Lord will sacrifice himself to help you. Now,
amazing.
The Genesis survival plan, we're talking about Joseph here. The book of Genesis offers us up-to-date advice all the way from those earliest times. Well, going right back to Noah and Joseph. And the story of Noah is a good example of preparation. Noah built a survival vessel as he was instructed to provide refuge and food and deliverance from the great flood. And the story of Joseph is another good example of using the time before the calamity to prepare for the need. And on both of these occasions, two enormous disasters were about to break. And without going into the story of these, we do know that the preparation came first, and when disaster struck, they were ready. Now, in the ancient Egypt, there are remains, and we've done quite a lot of expeditions into this area. I've led or accompanied up to 25 expeditions in the Middle East. And in ancient Egypt, an amazing inscription has been found on a large rock of the island of Siliol, just below the first cataract of the Nile. And the inscription claims to be a copy of a document written by the Pharaoh in the 18th year of his reign. And it goes to tell of a seven-year famine and 7 years of plenty, just as the Bible does. Now, here we have an inscription that tells a story of Zosa asking his vizier to help him with the problem of a seven-year famine. And the vizier tells him he must consult the god because the answer is not in him. Then the pharaoh dreams a dream which foretells the event, and next follow 7 years of plenty, which is reversed from the Bible account. The pharaoh levies a tax on all of the population except the priesthood. And all of the components of the biblical account are present in this inscription, except the story has been Egyptianized to fit their religious beliefs. And these inscriptions actually, there are actually inscriptions on the tombs of two officials at Saqqara, where we've done quite a bit of work, which is southwest of Cairo. And the step pyramid is there, you may recall.
Right.
Now, the inscriptions of these officials state that they collected grain for a seven-year famine. Now, over in south, about 128 kilometres south of Cairo, in the middle of the fertile Fayum Oasis, this area, by the way, is extolled in Egypt as the Venice of Egypt. And in its lush gardens, there are oranges and mandarins and peaches and olives and pomegranates and grapes. But it owes its fruits, its delicious fruits, to an artificial canal. And this canal is over 200 miles long, and it brings the Nile water and turns this desert region into a paradise. Now, this canal used to run parallel to the Nile northward to permit the floodwaters of the Nile to flow into a natural basin. And when the flood state was passed, the impounded waters could be returned to the Nile by means of a second, shorter canal. And examination of the remnants of the system show that it could well have doubled the tillable soil of the Nile Valley through which it passed. But interestingly, the ancient canal is called by the local farmers Bahr Yusuf, Joseph's Canal.
Wow.
And it's known by this name right throughout Egypt because they say Joseph planned it.
Wow.
During the 7 years of plenty, Egypt was able to prepare extra grain and harvest it, getting ready for the bad time.
Amazing. Remarkable information. A couple things that to bring up very important principles. Being a believer is a constant burden. It's not something you just get a kind of an ID card, get into heaven card. It's something you have to lay your will and your wisdom at the foot of God. For example, as you get smarter, just like you give a good example, is the smartest being ever created is Satan. He was so damn smart, he even told Eve, look, don't lean onto your own understanding. God made you so damn perfect, you've named all the animals. You don't need to go and pray in the garden to God and get his opinion on things. Do it yourself. So that's what the definition of evil is. 99% of what the devil does looks and tastes good and actually rewards you. Most of the scientific method, all the governments on earth, most of the religions are actually luciferic in the way they operate. They might have the names of say, Christian saints or, you know, principles and so on. But in fact, they operate in a luciferic thing of reward, command, and that you can take control yourself of your own life rather than surrendering it to God. And people have to be able to see spiritually beyond the point of their own vision and their own touch and their own hearing to see God in it. In other words, if you're, say, dying of cancer, but you put your trust in God, and even if you continue to die, you have to realize God's with you even in your dying process. He's with you in your financial disaster. He's with you to survive. And if it's God's intention to bless other people because his only concern is, will they be with me for eternity? Is, in other words, if your survival from your cancer saves other people from eternal separation, he'll heal you. If your financial survival and your physical survival allows descendants to literally worship God 1,000 years from now because there's people on the earth, he'll heal you. He'll bring you a life extension. He'll have you survive a nuclear war. So in other words, you have to see God's perspective on things. Who's going to be with me in eternity, and how will my interaction in your life through your tribulation bring about glory to God? Because that's God's only purpose. It has to bring glory back to him so he can do good, because the only one in the world, in the universe, that can do good is God. You can do right, you can do what looks beautiful, you can do what looks righteous, but it's all what I call the blue light of Satan. And people don't get this, because fake religion teaches you, once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't need to worry, you can't be a saved Christian and then go to hell. Wrong. And people don't understand that basically most public so-called Christians in the West actually are luciferic. They're not true Christians, are they? They haven't surrendered every day, and it's not an easy thing. To surrender your mind, especially if you think you're really smart, you've got everything figured out, to God is not an easy thing every day. You've got to pray, you got to read your Bible, you've got to say, oh man, I got this wrong. And then even if you're not succeeding, just like look at Job. My favorite book in the Bible is Job, because as you prep for the future, you're seeing things, you're going to be ridiculed by your friends and relatives. And by the way, when things start to become disastrous, these people will come to you begging that you save them from their own stupidity and how they spat on you and treated you like garbage because you spent enough of your money and time to prepare to save their own carcass. And the problem is, God wants you to be, you know, long-suffering to the people that were ignorant to you and to pray for those that despisely treat you. For example, I pray for Hillary Clinton, I pray for John Podesta and these devils that are doing things, because it's only by praying for those that do evil that we can take their boot off our neck. People don't get this, do they? Praying for ourselves to actually submit to God, which is not easy. If you think it's easy being a believer, you're not one, right?
That's right. You have to be determined and exercise your willpower in these matters. But it's not something that'll come naturally, because we're naturally wanting to boost ourselves and not listen to God's will.
We're naturally sons and daughters of Lucifer, Satan. That's why Peter, even, he said, three times you'll deny me before the cock crows. He was saying that the underlying nature of human beings is to be self-centered survival, not group survival. And to be honest with you, if mom and pop are billionaires and they go into make a compound, they're not going to survive decades or centuries. One or the other is going to get sick. One or the other is going to need help that they can't survive. One or the other is going to have a problem that they're not going to have the additional people around to continue their community or their compound. So you have to have a village of like-minded, I call it organic-type people. They're like an organism to survive. You can't. That's why the family is so sacred, and the family of believers. I don't believe in the church. I call it the family of believers, is an organism. And if that organism is to survive physically, it has to survive spiritually first. Right?
Absolutely so. Yes. Yeah.
So let's go on our preparations. What do we? What else do we store? Yeah, what other things can we talk about?
I was actually going to give some very interesting information relating to the Joseph situation. When
right.
Joseph's an example of how we should prepare. During the 7 years of plenty, Egypt was able to prepare extra grain, and this
right.
was harvested. It was placed in enormous grain bins, especially dug below the ground level.
Right.
And later, during the seven-year famine, food seekers converged on Egypt from everywhere to purchase supplies. Now, we believe that it is Saqqara, which is southwest of Cairo, not too far from the city, to Saqqara to which they came, because the remains of this fantastic complex are still preserved, and you can visit it. And it was here that the Pharaoh had 11 extremely large pits constructed, which can only be grain storage bins. Now, every city had stored grain from its region, but at this complex, at Saqqara, we have these massive pits which could have stored an incredible amount of grain, more than a single city would ever have needed. Now, at the entrance to the complex are 40 small cubicles in the building here. You go in the main entrance, and you go along a passageway, and on both sides there are 20 cubicles each side, each just the right size to hold a single person who could administer the receipt of payment from people coming to purchase grain. And then they would have received permission to go out, take their empty bags out, go through the back door, and then you have these 11 impressive pits with only one containing a very elaborate stairway, and the stairway goes all the way down to the bottom, and all the pits are connected to each other by a subterranean tunnel, and the pits were filled with the top, and the tops were sealed with wooden timbers and stone. And these pits actually went down 100 feet. They were 100 cubic, they were 100 feet cubic each way, wide, long, and deep. And they're all connected. Now, they were filled and the tops were sealed, and all of the grain could be accessed from one entrance. And there is one entrance into the pits from outside the wall enclosure. Oh, and something else. Grain has been found in the floor of these pits. But in any case, the records there in the book of Genesis, it offers us survival information from past, information that's valid today. And we could do no better than follow the example of Noah and Joseph in storing food for ourselves, our family, and others who may be desperately begging for help. Storing food should be essential for your preparation for the coming shortages. Now, we could spend an hour on going through what we should store and what we shouldn't store, but I think probably we could sum it up a little bit. In stocking up for hard times, there are two types of food you should not waste your money on. Don't go for these. Firstly, store-bought foods that are not freeze-dried, they do not last long. And secondly, forget about unhealthy food. During an emergency, having enough snacks won't increase the odds of survival.
Yeah.
Snack foods won't do it.
Right.
But do store these foods that last. And so the keys to consider are shelf life, bulk price, and nutritional content. And it's wise to store foods that require no refrigeration or freezing. Buy large sacks of rice and beans. Grains, beans, and honey will last a long time, or just start stocking up from the grocery store. Canned food is good for 18 to 24 months. Just buy it wherever you can and get it, and where you can get it quickly. But maybe on our next broadcast, we'll look at some of the best options. But may I suggest you make up a list and start purchasing and try to obtain a bulk discount. Now, in the food storage planning, some people will consider non-flesh diet preferable. For those that use to meat, some suggestions are also given. But it's necessary to caution that as disease worsens, meat will become less desirable, but survival from your own garden will become more desirable.
Absolutely, yeah. Amazing discussion today. Start heeding these words, praying on it, taking action, as I say, lean not on your own understanding. Pray on it. Realize that this book is essential. Will you survive? Get it at beforeus.com. Prepare every day, and before you know it, you're prepared to some extent to survive what's coming, because what's coming is ugly. It may appear beautiful, and it may appear that some people, even people like Donald Trump, is going to really hold back the beast for a time, but guess what? It's coming anyway. And if you're prepared, you'll survive.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.